one of the ways is to simply dive into scripture, to learn about God's design for money, to discover God's design for money. I have a book out called the Money Challenge, which if you're not necessarily wanting to sift through all the scriptures, which I encourage you to do, the Money Challenge is a good start for you. Now, when we talk about God's design for money, it's really rooted in generosity. That's what we find in scripture, that we serve a very generous God. We serve a God, and this goes back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We serve a very, very generous God. And so he has designed us to be generous. And your listeners out there, they know that. They know they experience a certain level of contentment, a certain level of joy, happiness when they give. There was a professor in Canada named Elizabeth Dunn, and she's done quite a few studies on the relationship between generosity and happiness. And one of her studies, she gave a group of adults an envelope. And she gave the envelope, she actually had them rate their level of happiness, handed them the envelope. And then when they opened the envelope, there's either going to be $5 or $20 in the envelope. And then there's going to be one of two sets of instructions. One set of instructions said, hey, use this on yourself. You know, buy yourself a meal, buy yourself a cup of coffee, pay a bill if you need to, whatever you do, by the end of the day, use this money on yourself. The second set of instructions said something totally different. Use this money on somebody else. Pay for somebody else's coffee. Help somebody else out in need. Buy somebody else's meal. Whatever you do, by the end of the day, make sure you've used this money on somebody else. Well, the adults followed those instructions. And at the end of the day, they came back and they once again rated their level of happiness. Well, you can kind of guess the outcome, where I'm going here. Those who use the money on others were significantly rated their happiness level significantly higher than those who used it on themselves. Well, what are we seeing there? Well, something that we know scripture talks about, that we are wired for generosity. You look at 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19, where Paul is telling Timothy not to put his hope in the uncertainty of wealth, but instead to be generous with good works, to be generous with your resources, so that then, you look at verse 19, so that then you can take hold of what is truly life. Now, when he says truly life, what does he mean? Well, he's talking to Christians, so he's not talking about eternal life. He's not saying if you give, you get eternal life. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that there are some present blessings that God gives when you start following his design for money, contentment, satisfaction, being a part of something much bigger than yourselves. This is how we were wired to operate with our financial resources. Now, how are we to give? Well, fortunately, once again, scripture tells us a lot about what that actually looks like. The Bible tells us that we're to make giving a priority. That's Proverbs 3:9. We are to give our first and our best, right? That's the very first thing. The Bible teaches us that we are to give proportionately. This means that it's percentage-based giving, that we give a portion of what God has given us. For many people, it's a tithe. You hear that word. The tithe simply means 10%. Yeah. And so that is a portion of a person's income. This means that those who have more will give numerically more than those who have less. Now, percentage wise, it could be, you know, less or more, but it's a percentage based giving. God tells us that we are to give sacrificially. You see that in 2 Samuel 24:24. Then God tells us, of course, that we are to give cheerfully, right? God doesn't want a bunch of grumpy givers. And so that guides us on our generosity journey. Now, there's some of your listeners that may be thinking, well, all right, I hear you. That sounds great, but I just don't have much to, I don't have much to give. Yeah. I mean, my finances are so tight, or I don't make very much money. Like you talked about reaching the nations with the gospel. I can't give that much. I can't do that. Let me tell you a story that we find in scripture about it's the widow's mite is the name is the title of the story that most people gave it. So Jesus was at the temple treasury, and he was watching people give. They're giving to the temple. And the Bible says he's watching people that were giving large sums of money, you know, dumping big money bags into the temple treasury. But then he saw somebody that really nobody else was paying attention to. In fact, I believe that when they were watching the people who were giving big sums of money, the disciples were nearby. They were probably paying attention to that too. And they're probably thinking, wow, man, look at that guy. He must really love Jesus. Look at all that money that lady gave. Man, God's going to be able to do awesome things with that. Man, it's great. Look at all that money. Of course, Jesus, his eyes go to this lady that once again is only identified as a widow. She gives 2 coins, which is, I mean, just it's a very insignificant amount of money, numerically speaking. But Jesus calls the disciples over and says, hey, guys, did you see? You see her, you know, I can imagine some of the disciples saying, yeah, you know, we saw the people giving a lot of money. Wasn't it awesome, Jesus? They really must love God. He says, no. Don't you see her, that this lady who only she gave 2 coins. He goes, but she gave more than anybody in the temple treasury. She was the one who gave the most. Now, why did he say that? Because more than likely, once again, the disciples didn't notice her. People at the treasury probably didn't notice her. Why did he say her? Well, because in God's economy, amount sacrificed always supersedes amount given. See, Jesus wasn't nearly as concerned about what was being put into the, you know, the proverbial offering plate. He was more concerned about what was still left at home. You see, for those who are putting massive amounts of money into that temple treasury, when they went back home, life just went on, you know, just as it normally would. They gave out of their excess. They gave comfortably. But this lady, man, when she went back home, she didn't have anything. Like, according to its scripture, she gave all that she had. Her life was dramatically different when she returned home. She didn't give out of excess. She gave sacrificially. And so Jesus pointed to her and saying, you know, that's our example for how we are to give. And so I would encourage your listeners with that. God is watching. He's watching. He sees the little bit that you're giving and knows, you know, numerically it may not be much, but he doesn't care about that because he cares about your heart. And for him, amount sacrificed always supersedes amount given. Let me also remind your listeners of one more story. It's where Jesus feeds the 5,000. They probably know it well. Jesus takes a couple of bread, some fish from a little boy, prays, breaks it, feeds 5,000. You know, amazing, amazing miracle. God can do the exact same thing with whatever little or much that you can give. Like, his ability to multiply didn't stop with the feeding of the 5,000. He still does that today. And so he can take whatever little that you do give, do amazing things that you would never imagine. In fact, one of the questions I'm going to ask God when I get back to heaven is, what did you do with those 2 coins? Like, what would you do with them? Like, how did you multiply them? Because I know you didn't just look at that lady and say, that's who we should give. And, you know, it just like nothing happened with that money. Like, what would you do with it? Because I guarantee you there's an amazing God story that's attached to it, where he multiplied in ways that a woman never could have ever imagined until she got on the other side of eternity.